Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Which tag team broke up, bro? Which former champion wants to return to WWE or TNA? And a new champ is crowned on Impact tonight. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Daniel Bryan criticizes NXT. Now, is this the old NXT or the new NXT?
He criticized the old NXT. He talked about the stuff that he had to do, in particular carrying around kegs, you know, doing the races and stuff like that. And his comment was, did Undertaker have to do any of this? No, he just appeared on you know, at SummerSlam. You know, he appeared on Raw. That's all he did. And I think it kind of brings up a bigger question that we really need to ask ourselves about the old NXT. Is it right for them to put people, force people, really, to be in this rookie program when some of these people are not rookies? These are people that have been wrestling for years and years and years.
I see what everyone's point is, but you have to remember, Bryan Danielson was very famous. He was the American Dragon, Ring of Honor champion. That's how some people knew him, but that's the hardcore wrestling fans. And one thing I've learned about hardcore wrestling fans, they don't pay. They just don't pay. The marks do. Most of the people that knew about Bryan Danielson were smarks. And they thought he was just a great wrestler, the American Dragon. That was his catchphrase. It's one of those things. NXT was meant there just to showcase rookies is basically what it is. It did its thing. Mm-hmm. It's over with. Move on. Now, the new NXT is completely different. They don't do this stuff. It's more of it's another wrestling show, basically. I do agree with what Daniel Bryan said. What was the point? He is a 10-year vet. They should have showcased that. They should have asked Ring of Honor to do something. As in, hey, can we borrow some of your footage? I mean, they did for CM Punk. Showing about this guy, Daniel Bryanson, who was their champion. And market him that way. Not, hey, let's give him the championship and screw it up. With the whole thing with The Undertaker, him saying that, he is right. He has every right to say it. Even though technically now, it is different. Wrestling's different.
Now, I have two things. One, you said Daniel Bryanson. So that's awesome. I was able to ingrain that in you. Number two is, let's just say, hypothetically, Robert Roode, his contract is up with TNA. WWE reaches out to him and says, hey, look, we're going to give you six times what you're making. You'll have to work a little bit more dates, but you're going to get six times what you're making. Is he going to go to NXT?
Yes. El Generico went to NXT.
Really?
That's the thing. You have to learn the WWE style. El Generico doesn't need to learn it.
There are certain people that I understand.
Chris Hero. Why
El Generico,
is he?
I understand why he went there. The people I don't understand. Look, Daniel Bryan was a very accomplished wrestler. He did not need to go there. Low-key is the biggest one, in my opinion. Low-key was a very accomplished wrestler. He is somebody who should have just appeared on SmackDown. You know, debut him there and let him do his thing. I think having him in NXT was a really, really bad choice. I really do.
Disagreeing
with me.
Low-key is the perfect example. Sloppy. He is very sloppy. That's the one. Okay. He can put on some of the greatest matches in the world. The problem is WWE doesn't want those matches. You can do those in the indies all day long. My problem, okay, low-key is a great wrestler. He reminds me a lot of Rob Van Dam, though. Rob Van Dam is super sloppy, as it showed on Impact. He is sloppy in the ring. Even though I will say one thing. The match, Thursday's match was not that bad. It was actually pretty good. It wasn't as sloppy as it usually is. But low key is very sloppy in the ring. You have to learn basically the language in the ring. So that's one thing also about WWE. The language that's talked in the ring is the same for everyone. It's not, okay, in the indies, okay, this is what they call this move. This is what they call this series of moves. Mm-hmm. WWE, this is how it's done, and that's it. Chris Hero should have never been in NXT. He should have just been, or I'm sorry, what's his name now? Cassius Ohno?
Chris Hero.
Yes, Chris Hero. He should actually have kept his name. That's the one, my beef right now. He didn't need to go there. He should have been on the main roster right off the bat. El Generico, I believe the same thing. He should be on SmackDown right now. He should have Fandango, as he liked to tell everyone, he should just be on SmackDown. He's comedic. I wouldn't be surprised if they put him with Bros Clay. Oh wait, they already have done it. So anyway, so MVP had talked and he said he wants to return to either go to TNA or WWE, which is kind of interesting because at one point he said he would never go to TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he would do it? Because it won't be career suicide by going to TNA. Reason being is because if they fail, that's how I look at it. If they fail. Do you think that he looks at the money as well and realizes, hey, there's only one organization? Or do you think he might take a stab at Ring of Honor?
I think that he is probably in a place right now where, you know, he's very interested in going back to the U.S. market. He's been over in Japan for the longest time. And he has the opportunity now to go back. WWE may not have anything for him. You got to realize that, you know, they have programs in place right now. And to have somebody come back and say, look, I'm available when you, you know, have me come in. They may say, well, you know, you may not be as big of a draw as you might think. If he was available 2 months ago, they would probably have him in the Royal Rumble, test the waters a little. I honestly think for him, his best bet is going to be Ring of Honor, TNA, or an indie scene like that. That would be my guess. That, at least that's the way that I feel.
Here's my thing with that. He's been using MVP in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
MVP. Okay? Technically, that's owned by WWE.
Yeah.
WWE allowed him to use it when he left. If he goes to TNA, they can technically go after him for it. And they will. That's the thing. They will go after him because he was known... Because when they announced him, as the same character as the WWE. So that means, I mean, you can do that, but if there's any DVD releases, pay-per-views, you can't do that. WWE owns that trademark. So not only can, you know, New Japan he went to or Noah. It was New Japan or Noah, one of those two.
Yeah.
Okay. He can get in trouble for that. So he won't go to TNA. He won't go to Ring of Honor. Because he needs to use that same name, because that's how everyone knows him.
Well, really?
Yes.
Kevin Nash.
Uh-huh.
Scott Hall.
Uh-huh.
Six-Pac.
It's different now, Aaron.
How is that different? No, because
you have him go. That character is WWE character. I mean...
The name is...
But the thing is, the name is... But that means he has to get all new ring gear. He has to... There's a lot of stuff he has to do. Yes, I know, Diesel and, you know, Kevin Nash.
Yeah, just ring gear. All he has to do is change his name to something else. You can call him VIP. All right, there you go. I just changed his name. His name is Victor Indigo.
No, he can't.
Indigo.
That's already been used. There's already a wrestler that uses VIP.
Well, he can do something else. That's the point I'm making is the name, you cannot just have that be the barrier. I think that TNA probably would be a better place for him. It wouldn't surprise me if he went back to WWE, but they need to have something in place for him. It would be my thing. They need to have a feud ready to go. You can't just have somebody come back because they did that with A-Train. They did that with Tensai. And they didn't have anything in place.
What's Christian doing?
Yeah. Oh, you know, actually, that's a good point.
Christian, MVP?
Yeah.
There you go. There's a feud and that's two guys coming back. And realistically, you could have someone else come in as well. Another person who's been gone for a while. I don't know anyone off the top of my head, but you just throw that. So they have a three-way match going on and it could basically elevate all three of their careers.
Yeah, you could. Andy, I want to move on though to WWE programming for this week.
Okay.
Miz took on Antonio Cesaro, which they've had this feud now going for a little while. Mm-hmm. What was interesting, though, was on SmackDown, they had a 2 out of 3 falls match. And I want to point something out here that I want to give some props to WWE. They've been doing these gimmick matches pretty regularly now on the SmackDown show. They had a last man standing match with the Big Show and Alberto Del Rio. This week they did a 2 out of 3 falls match, which we don't see those that often. And I actually really like those. I really do. I think it's kind of cool when you have those matches on WWE programming. So I just wanted to point that out. What do you think of the feud, though, so far?
It's really good. There has to be a gimmick at WrestleMania, but what is it? That's the thing. I would love to see a strap match. Haven't seen one of those in a while. You know, bring that back. Take that back. I think someone did it recently. It was one of the main three that I watched the shows of, either CZW, Ring of Honor, or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It was one of those three, but someone did do it. But still, WWE hasn't done it forever. Bring the strap match back. You know, I'm trying to think of something else they can do. Something that would, I guess you could have a contract on the pole or something like that. Didn't WCW do something like that?
No, you don't do that. But I agree with you. I think a strap match would be really good, because one of my criticisms about WrestleMania, we've covered, what, 3 WrestleManias now? This will be the 4th one. And one of my biggest gripes with WrestleMania is that you have all these singles matches. That's, last year, the year before that, it's singles, 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 singles. Maybe one tag is thrown in there, or happens to be a 3-on-3 or something, right? So you have all these singles matches, and a lot of them are literally just singles. They're not anything special. Last year we had a Hell in a Cell with Undertaker and Triple H. Nothing happened, though, in it. So to have a strap match, to have a triple threat match, to have tag team matches, that makes things a little more exciting, a little more interesting. So I really do hope that what you say is true, where you have them in some sort of gimmick match, whether it's ladder, table, strap, anything like that.
Here's something also that I wanted to talk about, and that is Vince McMahon hurt just after surgery, legitimately. Mm-hmm. He takes on Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman's dressed like a UFC fighter, which I found kind of funny. And by the way, Paul Heyman, does he lost weight?
He looks like he might have.
In all seriousness, I'm like, he just seems smaller than, like, because he used to be a really big guy, and it just seems like he keeps getting smaller and smaller. And when he came out with the outfit, I was like, wow, Paul, he's dropped some weight. But he came out there and, started attacking Vince, and then Vince started attacking Paul. And then all of a sudden you hear Lesnar's music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, geez, please don't have Triple H come out. Please don't have Triple H come out.
Well, come on. You expect
him not to. Of course Triple H comes out. You know why? Because Triple H has to beat him, because he lost to him at SummerSlam. So the biggest pay-per-view of the year, you're going to have Trips go over just because. Mm-hmm. He should.
Just because.
He should not. And this is why. It'll make Brock look even bigger. Brock should not lose. The next time Brock loses, WrestleMania 30 against The Rock. That's the next time he loses. That's what my opinion should be on that. But yeah, so Triple
H. That's what your opinion should be?
I'm sorry, that's what my opinion is on that. But anyway, so Triple H came out, and him and Lesnar started brawling, which they looked out of sync. It's just one of those things. I don't think they're going to work. They worked okay together, but it's Brock. It was disgusting. He hit his head legitimately on the pole, and I was trying to see if he cut himself.
No, that was bad.
It was bad because of where it was. And the other thing also is that the guys will put on gloves. The refs will, and so will the doctors, if blood starts. They did. They did not have it, because you can usually tell if a guy blades or he juices. That's what he's doing. You know, like, they see that coming, and they won't do anything with their hands. But when he legitimately gets cut now, gloves come out. That was sickening.
But I want to point something out, though. I want to go back just a little bit.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So McMahon takes on Paul Heyman, right?
Right.
The last time McMahon took on Paul Heyman, right, the last time he was verbally abusing him, Brock Lesnar came out and attacked him, right? So McMahon has this great idea. that I'm going to go ahead and take on Paul Heyman again. Was there a doubt in anyone's mind? That's what I would like to know. Did anyone not expect Brock Lesnar and Triple H to both come out?
You know how I knew this was going to happen? It's because I got, because we're affiliates with WWEShop.com, and I got an affiliate shirt from Triple H, it's Triple H's new shirt, around noon on Monday. And I just thought to myself, wow, they blew this one. You knew Triple H was going to come out because they never, whenever they advertise a new shirt coming out, it's usually like in this case, it was on Monday. I knew Triple H was going to eventually come out, but I didn't know when, but he was going to reappear because of that.
Well, the point I'm trying to make, though, is that this whole thing has been so scripted. And that's the thing that really kind of irks me, is I feel as though there isn't that sense of what's going to happen. Last year's WrestleMania, I happen to get the most right, you know, between you, me, and Doug. I got 7 out of 8, if I'm correct. I missed only one. And I was kind of surprised by it. You know, I really was. But Jericho versus Punk, Jericho could very easily have won that match. You know, and Cena Rock. You guys picked Cena. A lot of people did. I happened to pick The Rock because I thought, you know what? They could have a fun little swerve here, have The Rock win, you know, and then set something up down the road. And they did. They happened to do that. And I think that was – it was actually, I think, a pretty good move for them. I feel like this year's WrestleMania, you have Cena taking on Rock. Cena's going to win. You have Brock taking on Triple H. We knew this was going to get set up. Triple H is going to win. You know, you have Taker versus Punk. Taker's going to win. You have all of these matches, and there's no, I wonder if he's going to win. It's he's going to win, he's going to win, he's going to win. I think our WrestleMania prediction show, when we do that, I honestly feel that, you me, and if we have Doug on again, I have a feeling that we'll probably get 6 out of 8 right. That's kind of the way I feel. That's why I'm pretty upset about this segment. I think that, you know, kayfabe, all that stuff, great segment. But mark-wise, it's really bad. There's no wonderment there. There's no what are they going to do?
I do agree. And one thing about the WrestleMania special is I think we should probably add another person on there. Actually, two more people with their predictions. But we'll talk about that some other time. Anyway, so John Cena finally beats CM Punk cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
Match of the year candidate right now.
A great match.
Great. This is the best match I've seen on free TV in a long time.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you on that.
The best part
on WWE TV for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I should clarify. On WWE TV, this is match of the year. And this is also including pay-per-view. I'm saying that right now. This is match of the year. I haven't seen, well, you know, you can throw Shield in there, but realistically, if you know, this is just a great match. I can't give it 5 stars, but I can give it 4.75, definitely. That's how good this match was. The other thing, go ahead.
So Punk, one of the things I do want to talk about, though, so Punk gave Cena a pile driver, which the moment he did that, I was like, whoa, that's banned. He's really pushing buttons here. You know, like he's pushing buttons.
I found something out about this. Everyone knows now that Vince was furious and I guess was yelling and throwing stuff backstage. John Cena called the spot, not Cena. I'm sorry. John Cena called the spot, not CM Punk. Because,
really?
Yes, because, and this is how I know it's true, is because when they went back and McMahon was yelling at, I guess he started to say something to Punk, Cena says, I called the spot. Supposedly, whoever the agent was for that match is going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But John Cena, because he's pretty much bulletproof, is going to have nothing happen to him. And CM Punk, because he was like, hey, he called it. What am I supposed to do? Be like, huh? Like R-Truth does, you know, like R-Truth did again, you know, in Cena's match. He's like, huh? What is it? Huh? You know,
yeah.
He just says it like, he's like, pile driver. And you're like, okay. Well.
So the gist of it, though, is that so Cena finally beats CM Punk cleanly. You know, he hadn't beat him yet. And we knew that this was going to happen. You know, it was very predictable. you know, I was thinking about this today on my walk home. I was listening to one of our past shows, and I was thinking about it. I really feel that CM Punk should have beaten The Rock at Royal Rumble, and then that Rock should have beat CM Punk at Elimination Chamber. And here's my logic behind this, because people would not have expected Punk to win. And then, you know, the fact that he won in the way he won, you have Rocket redemption. Have the match in the Elimination Chamber, just those two. You know, just you have it in the Elimination Chamber because it's secure, you know. That's the only reason you have it, because having it in a cage match would be kind of weird. So you have that in the Elimination Chamber. Have Rock win, you know, cleanly, definitively, he wins, right? And then there's no question. You know, it's Rock versus Cena at WrestleMania. And as I talked about before, everything is so scripted. They're going through the motions. We know what's going to happen. Cena had to get his heat back by winning against CM Punk. And now he's taking on Rock at WrestleMania again. And they're calling this greatness versus redemption. Wait, what? Can you explain that tagline to me?
It's stupid. This has got to be one of the worst taglines I've heard in years. You know, I was hoping they would just do twice in a lifetime. You know, might as well just get that out of the way. But they didn't. You know, it's one of those things, like, this match was going to happen. Everyone knew it was going to happen. It's just one of those things. I mean, you have to have the element of surprise. I will give – that's something that we're going to talk about later. But you have to have an impact of, you know, like the – you know, the impact of a surprise. Anyways, so let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installed with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free download to see how easy it is. And use a special coupon code AUTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com. Take a bite of your web hosting costs. Listen, I can't say enough, but if you just go to the Section 86 off the mark section, you are going to see a banner for WWEShop.com. There's so many great deals going on right now. Hey, even Triple H shirt is on sale, or not really on sale, but hey, it's there. So make sure you check that out. Also, HighSpots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So the Robbies break up.
Biggest news of the week, of course, in the wrestling world. You know, Robbie E and Robbie T, they decide to go their separate ways. And, you know, it's the making of a great feud right here. And, you know, they have enough tag teams over at TNA, so it makes sense why they want to go ahead and break them up.
Now, one thing also, because I don't care about this anymore, we spent too much time on it. Kurt Angle found out who the head honcho of Aces and Eights is. And guess what? Oh, yeah. We don't know. Because then Kurt Angle got beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Not happy about that. So Christopher Daniels and Kaz versus Chavo and Hernandez versus Austin Aries and Bobby Roode at Lockdown. A three-way for the tag titles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this. I think that it's kind of cool. They didn't say the type of match necessarily, because when you I remember in WCW they did it where it was three people in the ring at a time. So it was a triple threat match, essentially. And you could tag out your partners, but then you also have the type of matches where it's a, you know, only two people are in the ring and you can tag in whomever you want. So you can tag, you know, Chavo could tag in Austin Aries, you know, that type of a thing. So we'll see exactly what type of a match it is. I think it's pretty good. The downside with this is we talked about the Robbies breaking up, and they would have been a perfect fourth team in there, you know, and then you have a fatal four-way. Tag team match. I think that would have been pretty cool, but unfortunately, I think they kind of made a mistake here with that. I do want to move on, though, to something that happened in an off-screen segment, which is Sting went up to Matt Morgan and asked him to join his group to take on Aces and Eights at Lockdown. And Matt Morgan said, "Did Hogan put you up to this? If Hogan really wanted me to be, you know, friends with you guys and take on the Aces and Eights, why didn't he have me in the tournament? Why didn't he pick me to be the number one contender? You know, does he have something against me?" And I like that. I'm really in favor of that. I think that it's really good for Matt Morgan's character, and I like the fact that they're continuing this feud. It's been going on now for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I do like this. I mean, you know, like, it's teasing something. We don't know what it's teasing, though. Like, because you know Hogan can't wrestle. Mm-hmm. But you often wonder, like, what if Bully Ray will end up feuding with Matt Morgan? It kind of sets that up, you know what I mean? And it also sets it up where Bully Ray wins his first World Heavyweight Championship and then drops it to Matt Morgan.
Absolutely. There's one thing, so I'm going to praise TNA a little bit here. You know, we have Bully Ray taking on Jeff Hardy. And if Bully Ray wins, there's a lot of different routes they can go. You had said the other week that you think that Bully Ray's a member of Aces and Eights, right? So let's say he becomes a member of Aces and Eights. Well, then he's going to feud with some other face, right? You could have a few people come out and you know, be the face that Bully feuds with. Or you can just have him win it, and then you have Matt Morgan come out and attack Bully. You have Jeff Hardy trying to get redemption. You have Austin Aries come out and say, well, I've beaten you twice so far. I get the first shot. You know, Robert Roode, you know, another one who can come at him. There's a lot of different ways you can go with this. And actually, that's one of the things that I'm really enjoying right now.
Yeah. The other thing also that was pretty good this week, Eric Young returned.
EY.
And
Showtime.
You know what the funny thing is? When he's like, when Kurt, there's a segment where Sting goes to Kurt Angle. He's like, are you sure about this one? He's like, yeah, I'm thinking outside the box. And I was like, it's Eric Young. I don't know why. I just knew it was going to be EY. And then EY returns with, mm-hmm. you know, from his shattered ankle, in quotes, of course.
Yeah.
I think it's actually one of those things. He comes in there for kind of comedic, but also they beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
You need that guy who will take those hard bumps. Mm-hmm. I think EY's the perfect one.
I the thing I really like too, so it was kind of cool, you know, Sting comes out, he's like, I got Magnus and Samoa Joe and James Storm and Kurt Angle here, and I got this other guy. And then EY's in the ring, and he attacks the Aces and Eights. EY is tiny.
Yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, but he goes, it's showtime. And he's like, yeah, we know, that's your catchphrase. It's showtime. And then, you know, you see EY, who's like 5 foot nothing, and he's in the ring against everyone who's big, and he starts beating them. Yeah, it was kind of comical, but it was also kind of cool. You know, it was nice to see EY back. No, be funny.
I like him.
No, be really funny, dude. If EY was like the head of Aces and Eights for some reason, I would just find that funny. He's not, because you know that guy's huge. But it would be funny if it was.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I like Eric Young, and I think that this was a good segment. This is planning for the future, because Eric Young, Magnus, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, all these guys were attacked over like 6 months. And now they're all coming back to get, you know, their comeuppance, you know, against Aces and Eights.
You know, I was just thinking about the very ending segment with Kurt Angle and him finding out who the member of Aces and Eights is. Do you think Kurt Angle is going to show up then next week? Or is he going to be hurt?
He'll probably be hurt. And then we'll have to wait till the pay-per-view. You know that's going to be the case.
And then he's going to say who it is after the match. Interesting. So, anyways, can't believe it, but Kenny King went up to RVD earlier in the day, of course, and said that I'm the champion and you know it. And RVD made a stip for this match. He said, if I beat you, you're out of the X Division forever. And Kenny goes, but if I win, I'm the X Division champion. He's like, all right. Kenny King wins in a non-sloppy match for RVD. And I'll give RVD credit.
Well,
and it wasn't that sweet. Dude, I'm so used to when he does the spinning heel kick, I'm so used to him just throwing his legs up in the air and not caring. It actually looked good. Even Rolling Thunder looked good.
There were some spots there. The ending, actually, I thought was pretty botched.
Oh, okay. The ending was botched by Hettner. Because
what?
Earl Hebner botched it. He counted three.
No, RVD didn't take Kenny King's finisher well, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no,
like,
he didn't.
Kenny King went to go pick him up, but either way.
Dude, I don't think that was supposed to happen. I think it was supposed to end where RVD missed the 450 and then Kenny King pins him. That's what I think that the ending of the match was supposed to be.
It might have been, but let's talk about Kenny King winning the title, though. That's actually, I think, the more interesting thing. So Kenny King beats RVD. Okay, this is a pretty high-profile person. You know, RVD helped legitimize the title a little bit more, supposedly.
Yeah.
But Kenny King is the X Division now. You know, who's he going to be taking on?
Kid Cash?
He was let go.
Oh, darn.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Zima Ion?
Okay, they're both heels.
Gosh, there's not a lot of faces in the X Division.
Is there anyone else in the X Division?
Well, AJ Styles, but they're doing a different angle with him.
We'll probably talk about that more next week because it'll get fleshed out more.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the problem. When you have two people in the X Division, you can't really have a whole lot of great matches.
Well, they do have a women's tag division with, like, what, eight knockouts?
Yeah.
So, exactly. Basically... That's the point. Three out of the eight people in the women's division have titles.
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty
good. Being a woman wrestler is pretty good. You have a 1/3 chance of owning a title.
Yeah, by the way, we forgot to mention that Velvet Sky won the knockout championship.
It wasn't important.
It wasn't.
It wasn't important.
But she cried and stuff that she won it.
So Kenny King wins the X Division title. It's a really big win for him. I really hope that TNA brings in some more X Division wrestlers. I really hate to sound like a broken record, but they need to bad.
Funniest moment in Impact this actually on the Thursday. You know what it was? When the Barbarian's daughter was wrestling, I don't remember the girl's name. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. All of a sudden the crowd started chanting, "She's a man. She's a man." I almost lost it.
Mm-hmm. She is a little homely. But anyway, so no weekly topic this week. We will have one, though, next week.
Yep. The only thing that I was going to mention is that we're going to add, of course, we usually have friend of the show Doug Hahn comes on, and he'll give us our predictions for WrestleMania. But I'm going to ask another friend of the show, Dave, and I think we should ask someone who doesn't watch wrestling and just see how they do for their picks. So I'm thinking Johnny on that one. What do you think?
I you know what, we'll talk about it later.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.